of the tractor. And that's probably way before any of our times, probably. Well, I don't know. Maybe not. I don't know. I'm not trying to put anybody in a boat of any kind. No. See, God says gray hair is a sign of wisdom. Praise God. Everybody touches. Everybody covers up a little bit, but that's okay. That's okay. But it's a sign of wisdom. It's a sign of wisdom. But you know, before there were tractors, in plowing a field, you know, they had a plow, and usually the plow was pulled. If you look on Little House books, movies and all that, or different other movies, you'll see that it was pulled by oxen. That because they were so big and so powerful that they could take that plow and it could drag into that ground and pull up. Because of the strength of that oxen, it could pull up the ground that needed to be pulled up. And a lot of times God is like that plow in our hearts, trying to pull up that hard ground, people, in our hearts and lives. I know we all think we're all perfect, and that's good. It might be a good thinking. You know, we're pretty good people, you know. Saved by grace, the mercy of God upon us. But yet, you know, there's probably still places, hidden places in our hearts where that are hard before God. And God has to take his plow, the Holy Spirit, whatever it may be, and start breaking it up. And sometimes, honestly, we don't even know it's there. Because it's the working of the Holy Spirit from the time we got saved to the time we die is the working of the Holy Spirit that continues to work in us. We may think sometimes, well, we have made it or arrived or got there. But I tell you, still God has to do a mighty work continuously in our hearts and lives. Because sometimes we may think we have success in certain area, and then God will let something happen so that we see we may not. And we have to go back to the plow and say, Lord, plow it up. Plow it up and make it viable for you to use, Lord. And take out those things that need to be taken out and put in those things that need to be put in. But here you see, you had those oxen and they were pulling these plows. And usually there had to be somebody that was there that was holding the reins of that oxen so that they would go in the direction that they wanted it to go, because they were plowing up the ground and they want those straight rows so that your crop could come up. And it would be straight and you can harvest it easily. And so here you had these big plows and the oxen would pull it. And you had the farmer there that would take the rain and they would start to go. But on that plow, as we're going to read some scripture, they usually had some gourds there, they would call it, or pricks there on the back of that plow. They had the oxen, and right in back of it, not far from it, they had these gourds or pricks. And what would happen is, every once in a while, the oxen wouldn't want to do what the farmer wanted it to do. He didn't want to go forward. Maybe he was tired. Maybe he just, you know, he got up, didn't feel like it. You know? I mean, how many of us get up one day, we don't feel like going to work. Just don't feel like it. We want to roll over in bed and take the sheets and cover our heads and say, come on, let's go another few hours, you know. And, you know, some days that's okay, but you know what? Money doesn't come in if you're sleeping in bed, you know. So you need money to come in, so you got to get up, you know, you got to get to work. And so here you had these oxen that sometimes they'd become a little stubborn. And as the farmer wanted it to go straight, the animal, so the plow would be straight, well, the oxen wouldn't want to go. Or wanted to turn to the right, or wanted to turn to the left. And the farmer didn't want that to happen. Or sometimes they'd just stop, and the oxen would want to back up. And when they would back up, they'd hit those gourds, which were really sharp pricks upon the buttocks of these animals. And it would hurt them. It would prick them. It would hurt, and what it would, and thank God it would kind of hurt them. They would feel it, then they would go forward. and the farmer had to make sure that they stayed on track. Well, you know, sometimes even in our lives, God has the reins of our lives. And he's saying, okay, Joe, I want you to go straight. And honestly, sometimes I don't want to go straight. I want to turn. That's true. That's true, huh? I want to take a right in the resting place and just rest. Or you want to do something? God is dealing with us about things. And so sometimes, even in our Christian walk with the Lord, as we're growing, sometimes we want to take a step or two back. And God will put those gourds on the back to prick us. It may hurt. It's like a shot, you know. I don't know anybody that really likes to take a shot, you know. I mean, you know, they put it in your arm or wherever. Who wants to? That's not pleasurable. But it stings at first, or there's a pricking at first of the skin. It breaks the skin, and after they pull it out, you can see there's a little blood there. Or if you have to go give blood or for whatever reasons to check your cholesterol and all that stuff. It's not pleasurable. But God in his faithfulness puts these things on the backsides of us, which could be the Word of God, the presence of God, the anointing of God, the Holy Spirit. As he's leading us and guiding us, he's not wanting us to take a step or two back at all. He wants us to go forward in life. He wants us to go forward and attain those things that he has put in front of us. Because we don't know what's out there in a year or two from now in our lives. We know maybe tomorrow a little bit, maybe next week. You know, kind of generally what may happen, what may not, you know, what work and all. But you know, God has the reins of our hearts and our lives. And it says in John 3:16, we know the famous scripture, for God so loves the world. That means he loves us. He has the reins of our lives and he loves us. And he wants the best for us. But we have to understand also that we are here for the pleasure of our Father and not for the pleasure of self. God doesn't mind us having pleasure in certain things, whatever. If it lines up with the Word. But in the end, we are here for the pleasure of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit to get his job done upon the earth as he calls us to do certain things and to go certain places and to do certain things according to his will. That's the Father that is at the reins of our lives. And he doesn't want you or I to back up any time. So he puts those things to hit us. To almost hurt us at times. But a lot of times in that hurt time, we start to think and God starts to move in our hearts and we realize maybe the mistakes we've made, the things we've done, where we went wrong, how we opened the door for the enemy to come in. And God starts to heal us. Because you see, there's a lot of healing that needs to take place in our lives, people. Amen. There's a lot. You see, the world that is going towards everything and anything to fill that void on the inside, turning to everything that imaginable. Things I never thought would happen 20 years ago are happening today. My God, what's going on? It's like what the scripture says in the end days. You know, what they call, what we call evil, they're saying it, the world is saying it's good. And that's not right. But we back up and God starts to prick us. And in that pricking constantly on the backside of us, because he doesn't want us to turn around and go back to the world, people. That's what the devil wants. He wants us to keep going forward. Living for him. Letting the Spirit of God move. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. We need the presence of God. We need the anointing of God upon our hearts and lives. I want you to turn, if you would, to Acts. Acts chapter 9, if you would. Acts chapter 9, verse 1, starting at verse 1 to 7. Acts 9. Even, you know, cattlemen of today, they have a long rod of some kind. They're riding their horses, you know, and they have their cattle. And they'll have a sharp edge to prod those little cattle, the cattle or the little, you know, just to get them to go in the right direction. Or even some will have some kind of electrical charge at the end of it. Now, you don't use it on your children, but you use it on the cattle or whatever, just to keep them in the right direction, in the right direction. Now, look at this. Acts chapter 9, starting with verse 1. I'm going to read all of it, then we'll come back to it. Look at this. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, if he found any of his way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Verse 5. And he said, Who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom you persecute. It is hard for you to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what will you have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told you what you must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless. Now I want you to turn in Acts again, chapter 26, because this gives a second account of this. In Acts 26, talking about the conversion of Saul to Paul. Acts 26. Look at verse 13. Starting with verse 13. And it says, At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining around about me, and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking to me, saying in a Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Is it hard for you to kick against the pricks? And I said, Who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom you persecute. But rise and stand upon your feet, for I have appeared unto you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness, both of these things which you have seen, of those things in which I will appear unto you, delivering you from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send you, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of salvation Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins, inheritance from among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Here we see something that happened to Paul. Well, his name was Saul, and God changed his name to Paul. But here we see in verse 5 of Acts 9 and verse 14 of Acts 26, basically in that those two, he says the same thing unto them. He says, Paul, before you change, why are you kicking against the pricks? Why? Now that tells me something right there. That tells me that the Holy Spirit had been working on Paul long before he was on his road to Damascus. Because he kept saying, why are you kicking against the pricks? That means he was kicking more than once, and the Holy Spirit kept working on him. No tell, and it doesn't say what happened, but you know, before that, but we know the Holy Spirit was working on him. And every time the Spirit of God, Paul as Saul, his name, before God changed it, he would go in and he would arrest Christians, if you want to say Christians, that's how we know it of today. They called him in the way. And so he would go in and he'd find out where they were, and he'd go in and he'd take the men and the women and persecute them and try to destroy. And really, he thought he was doing the work of the ministry, basically, working for God. And I don't know how many times as he would go into Christians' homes, because you know some were praying and seeking God and the Spirit of God was in their homes or wherever they were at work. And we don't know how the Spirit of God worked upon Saul. at that time. But we know every time as he would go into a house and he would get the people and drag them out and persecute them, and the Spirit of God would come upon Saul and work on him and try to grab him and bring him to the knowledge of the cross of Calvary. Every time he resisted, you know what he did? He kicked against the prick. He kicked against it. He kicked against it. That's what it means. He kicked against the thing that was going to spur him and in the right direction. He kicked against the Holy Spirit constantly. We don't know how long it happened. But you know, in the meantime, the Christians kept praying for him, saying, God, you got to do something. God, you got to get a hold of this man. God, you got to save them. Let me tell you, the devil will try to tell you that your prayers are not going to work. But let me tell you, your prayers work, people. Because when you align yourself with what the Holy Spirit wants, it will happen. When you align yourself with what God is doing, it will happen. Come on, people, get alive. Come on. When we align ourselves with the Holy Spirit, God will move and it will happen. Because they kept praying for Saul, and God says, I'm going to do it. Maybe they didn't hear how God was working on him. Maybe they didn't hear what the Spirit of God was doing on the inside of him, speaking to his mind, trying to draw him by his Spirit. Just like sometimes we don't hear how God is working on our spouses and on our children that don't know God. Sometimes all we see is the bad. And we see them maybe getting worse. But in the meantime, God is still working. Ooh, and speaking to their minds. And the devil, what he has us look at is what only we can see is the outside. But God is looking from the inside and saying, I'm working, I'm working, I'm working, I'm working, I'm working. And we need to keep praying. We need to keep believing. We need to keep seeking God in what he can and can do for us. And every time Saul would not bow to the things of God, he'd kick against those pricks every time. We might say, well, golly, why didn't he just surrender at first? Why don't we? How long it took for God to work in our hearts to get us saved? He had to bring multiple people across our way. We needed God to move dramatically. And all that time, every time we resisted, we kicked against the Spirit of God. That means we resisted. And God kept pushing from the outside. Come on. I want to spur you on. I want to get you. But you know, that's just not in being just saved, but also when the Spirit of God is moving upon you in other areas of our lives. You don't know how many people I've talked to. Christians that are dying spiritually. I mean, death is at their door. As spiritually, death is at their door. They will not leave their churches. That I don't understand. I don't understand that. They're literally dying on the inside. They get nothing on Sunday morning. The Spirit of God does not move. God is not even almost welcome there. But yet they will stay in a place and die there and not move to a place where the Spirit of God is moving. Because you see, it's the Spirit of God that brings life to a people. And every time they resist what God is trying to do, they kick against those pricks. Every time God works upon our lives to change us, to get rid of that pride and that anger and that bitterness and whatever other stuff that he needs to get rid of in our lives, and we resist, or we resist God in the time he says he wants us to pray and seek him, you kicking against it. You saying, Lord, Lord, you don't know what's best for me. We've all been there. People, we need to learn to not to be a Christian crick kickers. But we need to be Christians, believers, that submit to the presence of God and say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Now, hey, look, I understand sometimes we may not know for sure if it's God or not sometimes. And we need to pray saying, Lord, confirm it. Help me to know. But let me tell you, we need to be in a place where God has the reins of our lives and we are that oxen. And he turns us to the right when he wants to. He turns us to the left when he wants to. And he makes us go straight when he wants to. That we never go backwards. That God never has to use those things that will cut us from the backside. That will make us hurt. And make us think sometimes that God doesn't care. And in the meantime, God cares so much for his children that he will allow hurt to come upon his children to bring them to the humbling knowledge of him, to rely upon him. It's an amazing thing. When the Spirit of God came upon Saul, God changed his name to Paul. It's an amazing thing when the Spirit of God came. Now, he doesn't say this in both of those sections, but in one of them, it says that they all fell. It was Paul and his entourage of people, of soldiers, that were going to Damascus. And we hear the story where we know that Paul fell from his horse and the Spirit of God shone upon me. And he says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he calls his name Jesus. You know why he says Jesus? Because that's the name that Paul detested. That was the way. The way was Jesus. You know, they called him the way. And so he detested that name. So God used the name that he did not like. But they fell. See, under the presence of God, we surrender to him. And as we surrender to him, our spirits will be melted before him. And we will want to do what God wants. See, God does not want us to be a stiff-necked people. He called Israel stiff-necked people. That means he could not turn them. They stayed the same way, and they would not turn when the Spirit of God wanted them to turn to the left. Or they would not turn when he wanted them to go to the right. But God's saying, don't be stiff-necked. Be flexible. As I turn you, you go. As I speak to you, you speak. As I give you direction, you follow. As I give you supply for you, lift me up. See, we have to be the people that do not hit against the pricks. I know probably every one of us, the backsides of us are beaten. Yeah, I know. Myself included. By the Spirit of God. Saying, come on. Don't back up. But we need to get to a place where we say, okay, Lord, from this day forward, I will do everything I can. Because you see, we serve a God that cares about every aspect of our lives. And he wants to lead you and guide you. Because you know why? He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. And I know that's hard sometimes for us to understand. Because all we think about is our failures sometimes. And we think, God, how can you love me? You remember yesterday when I did this, or the day before I did that, or last week I did, you know, whatever. But he still loves us. He doesn't like us to do things that are not good. But he loves us. So what we do is, when something happens, you go to God. Hurry, get to him. And say, Father, forgive me. That's all he wants. I know religion will tell you have to do all kinds of stuff. You have to pay penance and you have to pay this and do that. Let me tell you, the blood took care of it all. The blood took care of it all. What you do is you go before him. You say, Father, forgive me. I'm sorry for messing up. Lord, give me the strength and the power to succeed next time, Lord. Help me to not succumb to that evil. And you put your faith in what Jesus did at the cross. And you say, Lord, thank you. And you get up. God remembers it no more. God knows of it no more. And I know we have a hard time thinking about that. But when Paul, he went down as Saul, but got up as Paul. When he got up, I know he was blind and all this stuff. God didn't look at him as kicking against the pricks anymore. God looked at him, Paul, as a man that would share the gospel around the world. And it was through Paul that 13 books of the New Testament came into being. And you know, Paul wasn't even a disciple as far as the 12. I know a lot of people like to put him in there, but he's not. He's not one of the 12. So can you imagine if God could use Paul, what he can do with us?
Amen.
Can you imagine? You have so much potential in your heart and life, and God knows it, and the devil knows it, and he'll try to stop you from serving God. Because you have so much potential that you could shake families for the kingdom of God. You could shake your workplace for the kingdom of God. You could shake communities for the kingdom of God because of so much potential in you. Because God lives in you and the power of God is in your heart and life. And God wants to use you to touch people like never before.
Amen.
So much potential. So much. Let's not kick against the pricks anymore. Saying, Lord, forgive me, and let's go on. And let God be God in our hearts and in our lives. God came in, and we know God healed him of his blindness. The scales fell off of his eyes. God had to use a man and an eyes to go and pray for him. And that was hard. It was hard for him because he didn't know what was going on. He was scared. He was scared. A man that persecuted the church now is in bed, can't see. And you want me to go pray for him? He deserves to be blind. I mean, you know, you know what? The man might have said that too. And I might have said, you know, Lord, he deserves to be blind. He deserves to be in bed. He deserves to be having somebody walk him around. Look what he did to my aunts and uncles. Look what he did to my friends and family. And God got maybe a hold of his heart and said, oh no, you got to forgive. Oh, it's a good forgiveness story. And he went and prayed for him. We don't know. Maybe not. Maybe so. Who knows? That's in my version of things. Okay? Amen. God bless you. You may stand, please.
That's what happens today.
That's right. That's right. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. As every head is bowed and every eye closed, I just want to make sure before we leave today, if you don't know Jesus and you'd like to give your heart and life to him this morning, would you please raise your hand so we can pray with you? I see your hand back there. Thank you. Thank you. You're saying, Pastor, I've messed up. Well, you're at the right place. You're at the right place. This is where God wants to move on all of our hearts. Amen. Amen. Anyone else? Anyone else? Amen. Let's all pray this prayer together because we have somebody that raised their hand. Say, Heavenly Father,
Heavenly Father,
I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. And I accept you as the Lord of my life. I believe that you died on the cross and you rose again from the dead. And I accept you as the Lord of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Amen. Guys, y'all look this way. Look, guys, Jelaine and I, we appreciate you. We thank God for you and we love you. And we pray y'all, you have a great week this week. God bless you. Amen. You are dismissed.